This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and we're back with the end. This is going to be our last little episode, and of course I couldn't have done this whole journey without my valued co-host, Mr. Dave.
Hello, hello, hello. Yes, we are wrapping up the topic of AI project failures, their reasonings why, and our musings on them. It's been like the Rand report has inspired this particular set of topics, but we're in the final home straight, so let's dive in.
Let's dive out, because the first one is talking about lack of domain understanding. And I've already mentioned earlier in another episode what domain means. It's basically what the data set used for training the model came from, medical data, legal data. That's one part of it. That's domain knowledge inside the data set. But this is more talking about the domain knowledge by the people that actually are building slash running slash whatever doing your AI project. And that's a pretty big problem, actually.
Yeah. So do you see this as happening more when organizations go, oh, right, we need AI to solve this problem. Let's go and hire a load of AI people and immediately begin Project X? Or is there a different sort of thing that really drives this in your experience? I mean,
that definitely drives it. That's not the worst. The worst thing is we need AI for our very specific business, and we want to make differentiation in the market through this thing. Let's outsource it to a third-party company and have them build it for us.
Okay.
That is what happens a lot because, as we mentioned last time, scarcity of talent is a problem. Having data scientists on the books is expensive. And especially, again, for people that aren't that mature in their AI journeys yet, this is a very big upfront cost. We're going to be talking about infrastructure as well later. It's not cheap to start this thing. So the incentive of outsourcing it, just like we outsourced almost everything these days, although I do see a bit of a movement of insourcing again, which I'm very glad with. But definitely now in the hype of Gen AI, it needs to be fast and quick, and we need it today and not, okay, outsource, have somebody else build it. If you're a company and you have a good product or service or whatever, you're doing something different, something that people notice, something that people enjoy, something that people see and why they come to you, you cannot depend on a third-party environment due to your artificial intelligence. Okay, I'll specify a little bit. Sure. If you want a chatbot on your website, yeah. Outsource that, download a chatbot. Chatbots are dumb, are easy to build, and they have no differentiation because it's just a user interface, nothing there. If on the other hand, you're looking at AI to do predictive maintenance, figuring out trending, figure out future trends, things like that, that's stuff that you need to know what the data means, not just what the data is, but what's behind the data. I'm not talking about the context we talked about last time, but actually understanding that in finance, a monetary unit is something else than in normal sales organizations. In sales organizations, if you're selling buying, it's something you pass over to get commodities. In finance, it is what you do. It is your main product. There's a whole different way of looking at that, and your artificial intelligence should reflect that. Outsourcing this to a potentially very good IT company that specializes in AI, yes, you will get a finished product that will work, probably. But will you be able to get differentiation out of that? Will you actually be able to recoup gains on all of the expenses that you did? Likely not, because it's going to be generic. There's no other way around that.
Yeah. The report actually brings up another really good point where around kind of lack of domain understanding. And if you end up in a situation where, whether it's, you know, you outsource this or whether you, you know, hire a bunch of fresh, shiny new talent into your organization, in either case, you will often, you know, couple that up with, a, you know, one or more subject matter experts to try and make sure that that domain understanding is reflected in the work that's being done, whether it's internally or externally. And one of the points that the report brings up is the fact that those subject matter experts may actually, whether probably not actively, but may end up passively in some way, I mean, sabotaging is a strong word, but at least putting up some sort of passive resistance to the work that's being done, because it's the ever-present boogeyman of AI is going to take all our jobs, blah, blah, blah. And especially when you've got these kind of subject matter experts being engaged by the people literally developing the technology to automate and be able to do all of this very, very complex stuff at scale in the future, I can absolutely see where and why, in some cases, even if the experts, the subject matter experts, don't necessarily mean to sort of hamper the projects, I can absolutely see why human nature being what it is, they may, be a little bit slower to respond to requests or, maybe not prioritize supporting those teams as much as they could because there are other things that they're doing that are way more important and that sort of thing. And I can absolutely see that even if you sort of put together this great, partnership with all the best intentions, that it comes back to some of the fundamentals of change management. If you don't get everybody on board and really understanding why it is that you're doing what you're doing, and basically more than anything else, what's in it for them? Yes. What's positive that's in it for them? Then, I think in a lot of cases, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, and this happens most if it's a hype-driven initiative.
Mm.
If there's no tangible benefit, if there's no real need, except I want to be on a podium somewhere to say what beautiful things we've done with AI, that's where it's hard to get that support from the rest of the organization, because they just see a person trying to grandstand a bit, but there's no tangible benefit for them, so there will be resistance. Having a real need for AI, and there is need for AI. I mean, not all AI 100%. Today is needed, but there's definitely need for AI. If you have that need, make sure that everybody's involved. And again, that's also why you call it SMEs. Let's again go one step further, outsourcing. Having an outsourced company has different priorities. For them, it's making sure the product takes as long as possible because they get paid, and once they have done their deliverable, it's done. That's a problem. That's the same priorities. So having it in-house with your own people has a big benefit, because you can get that support from everybody. If that works, you can make the teams of both technical experts, the scientists, and the people that are actually going to be using it, which is often forgotten. Typically, a lot of these things, they build a product and then they tell, hey, people, here's a new thing you need to be using from day one. Why? I'm happy with what I have. I'd have, again, no inclusion, that's a problem. Being able to do it in-house, having teams that are very diverse. And I've been lucky enough to work with a couple of big, I'm not going to name any names here, but big organizations here in the Netherlands that were actually doing it the right way. And that actually may not go to the finish faster. It'll probably take more time, because more people typically take more time. But at the end, they had something usable. And this is, again, investing in the future. AI is not a short-term gain. Yeah, chatbots, whatever. I mean, 6 years ago, I predicted chatbots would be everywhere. If you didn't believe it, I was right. But anything more substantial than that, yes, take the time to do it well. You will be happy with your future self if you take due diligence, take the time, and invest where you need to invest.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, then it's not important enough. Then don't do it. Don't just AI wash whatever you're doing.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful segue on to our final point, actually, which, if it's not important enough, don't do it. This is expensive. Yes. Doing this properly is expensive. Whether you're doing this on-prem and you need server racks full of GPU-enabled servers, or you're doing this in cloud and you need a whole bunch of very expensive instances that that have similar capacity. This is something that requires a pretty significant budget, and if you're not prepared for that, if you're going to try and, you know, cut a bunch of corners and do this on the cheap, the likelihood is, unless you've discovered, you know, some magic way of shortcutting, you know, everything that we know at the moment, you're not going to end up with the kind of solution that, you know, you're envisaging. If you're expecting an all-singing, all-dancing, proper, truly transformational kind of end result, that's going to cost. And, you know, yes, it's going to cost in time, but it's also going to cost just in money. Like, doing this is expensive, whether it's the staff, whether it's the infrastructure, whether it's the time it takes. Like, all of these things mean AI projects typically are a bit like US military projects. They balloon in both time and cost dramatically. And if I would almost say, and if they're not ballooning in time and cost, you're probably not doing it right. There's so many people just underestimate what it takes to get a really strong and truly transformational AI project off the ground and into production that is actually going to make a real difference to your organization.
Yeah, and it's always very surprising to me that people don't see that, because, to be honest, hype equals this is expensive, because hype is driven by the deliverers of the technology, the vendors, the companies that built not the final product, but the tools around it. And the reason that the hype exists is because these companies have found something, a new cash cow, and they're promoting it out the wazoo is a decent word. And that's why every article you read, every video you read has a publicity for AI, Gen AI, whatever, because there's a lot of money in there. If there wasn't a lot of money in there, they wouldn't invest in the marketing around it because it'd be a loss leader. So whenever something is hype, whether it be AI, Gen AI, blockchain, Hadoop as well, I mean, Hadoop was massively expensive to deploy. Was it useless? No, it had a good use, but it was expensive. There were other ways of doing things that couldn't do the same, deliver the same result, but might be, if you didn't need Hadoop, please don't go Hadoop. If you don't need blockchain, please don't go blockchain. If you don't need AI, please don't go AI. Because the reason that all of these people on the podium saying everybody needs to use AI and 80% of the world is because there's a lot of money in it. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. Sure, there is a bit of the technology people as well in open source software, for example. People are enthusiastic about the new technology as well. That's also why hype exists. But the only reason that these people can actually spend time on these fun technical things is because the company they work at has spent money on hiring them, because there's a lot of money in it, again, coming up to the whole hype cycle. So when, as a company, you're investing in a hype, maybe for the right reasons even, expect this to be expensive. And don't try, as you said, to do it on the cheap. That's just anti-pattern number one. I mean, yeah, just don't buy on Alibaba. Go to a local merchant. Sure, Alibaba has a nice trinkets and they look great on the web page. And local craftsmanship will probably be way more expensive. But you're not buying, you're not doing this for the short term. You're not doing this because you need something now. It's something you want to hopefully benefit from on the next decade or some or more even. It's ground laying. These days, it's still a lot of basic ground laying. Having a grounded AI infrastructure can help so much across the entire organization, not just little projects working at now. Don't do it on the cheap.
Yeah. And I mean, if you... I, on the one hand, I really do hate giving this particular individual any airtime at all, but if you want an example of what it takes to do AI properly, the recent comment from
Okay, this is good podcasting.
I know.
Live research here, people.
I think the comment was from Jensen Wong, NVIDIA CEO, uh-huh. Saying Elon Musk is superhuman. What would take everyone else 4 years only took him 19 days. And that's the setting up of 100,000 NVIDIA H200 AI GPUs in 19 days. So, I don't know how much 100,000 H200 AI GPUs and all the infrastructure costs.
They're about 10 grand a piece.
Yeah.
But that's a compliment. That's somebody spending a lot of money on things that might probably have been way more cost effective in different ways, but it gives them a headline.
Yeah. But also, it goes exactly to your point. The reason why it's being celebrated is because there's a lot of money to be made, and this is, as I say, I'm not a particular fan of Elon Musk, but
well, I mean, he built this great truck. It's only been recalled 3 times by now, I think. Luckily, didn't sell too many of them. It would have been a real financial problem. He's been a force. He's done stuff. We have an electrical car industry because of Tesla. We can't underestimate that. The German car manufacturers and the Japanese one were not looking in that direction at all. Now they have to. So he has been somewhere beneficial, but yeah, lately. Although he has the best Gen AI on Twitter, right? The whole Grok thing. That's
No comment. Anyway, I think anything else on your side for this?
Let's see if we're kind of tying this one together. So, any wisdom we can share? I mean, the first one is so take your time and be prepared to pay.
Yeah, and I think just try desperately not to buy into the hype.
Yes,
like recognize that AI projects can be transformational. I keep using that word, but that's because I genuinely do believe that done well, AI projects can make a huge difference to an organization. But this is not easy. This is a space that is at, still its very earliest stages. It's earliest stages of this particular iteration of artificial intelligence. And there's a lot of pitfalls. We've covered, a handful of them over the last however many weeks. And there are many, many more, I'm sure, that you can fall down and cut yourself on along the way. But starting off with a maybe healthy degree of skepticism perhaps wouldn't do you any harm, and expecting this, if this is your first kind of AI driven project, expecting to learn a lot, expecting it to probably take longer than you think, and maybe even dialing back your expectations in terms of what magic the AI will unlock, at least if this is your first project. If you've got, plenty of projects under your belt at this point, you're probably in a far better state than, many other organizations. But if this is your first time on this journey, just temper both your and others' expectations, because that's the other thing. It's not just about, if you're leading this project, that's great. You can kind of temper your expectations, but if others have expectations of you and the project that you are delivering that are unrealistic, then you're already being set up for if not failure, at least set up, for disappointment. So, make sure that you are approaching this from a point of realism, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah, and I'm going to end with, after all these weeks using this Rand article as inspiration and talking about it, I'm now going to end with attacking its initial premise. The initial premise of the report is that failure is bad. I don't think so. Mm. If your first AI project doesn't fail, you did it wrong. Failure isn't necessarily bad. It's finding out one way that doesn't work, and that will make all the rest better. Expect your first big AI project to fail. That's just how you learn these days. Because yeah. This is very new. This is still being developed and discovered. You should be prepared and prepared to spend the money, hire the people for a project you know is probably not going to work. But that's just your first step on, again, this decades of benefits reaping from this knowledge.
And maybe don't start with that big project. Maybe start with a smaller project to cut your teeth and work up from there.
At different scales, you'll have different challenges.
Yeah,
so you cannot have a very small hobby project and then take over the world.
Yeah.
No, you'll have, there's degrees of complexity, and for all of these levels, you will fail. Just make sure that those first projects aren't started for direct monetary gain, but are started to get information, get knowledge, get practices, get procedures in place to build upon. Be prepared to be unhappy with the result of the first one, or differently, have the right expectations. Expectation management is very important.
Indeed.
Iterative. And I said it three times because I was being iterative.
I thought you were just being repetitive. Anyway, and with that, I think that is actually all the time we have for today. So you can support this podcast by becoming a Patreon. Every contribution really does help. We are on YouTube. You can like, subscribe, even comment, and hit the notification bell, doing all the YouTube things. You can also go to roaringelephant.org for a link to our Patreon page and more information about the podcast. And please send any feedback or thoughts or, I don't know, maybe poems to podcast@roaringelephant.org. Until next time, my name is Too Expensive and Takes Too Long Dave.
And my name is All AI Out. Yomp.
We look forward to talking to you next week.
Goodbye.
See you then.